Ivan, I'm tired.
I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick, and this is DIY Detail. And it shows that Nick is tired because he missed a few spots on the Corvette. Not in polishing, but in, you know, wiping off the polish residue. So we thought we'd do a little conversation as to frequently missed areas.
It's one of those where I'm not the only one who missed a few areas of wiped off polish. But I kind of thought, I'm like, it's when you're tired that you make mistakes.
Right.
And they can be big mistakes, or they can be, okay, I missed a spot, right?
Right.
So look, if you're really tired, it's not always the best time to be detailing. And I mean that, like, if it's 2 a.m. and you're pushing it, there's a certain time where you say enough's enough.
Yep.
I'm just not feeling like it's as safe right now.
Exactly. There are times when it's best to put down the tools, walk away, have a nap, take a rest, go to bed. After about, 7 or 8 hours of work, we're not into it anymore. You know, we might think, oh, we're pushing through. You're better off to go take a break for 4 or 5 hours and come back. You'll be fresh, you'll be bright-eyed, and you'll be ready to do the job properly.
So let's talk about spots where you can easily miss around the vehicle. I mean, I had our rotary jeweling pad, which kind of glided over those little, what do you even call those? The little tiny fins on the back of the Corvette?
Yeah, ventilation fins, a little grill, basically.
Yeah, a little grill, right?
Yeah.
Sylvie mentioned that, hey, you missed a spot wiping the polish off, and I sure did. I mean, but that's a pretty innocent thing to miss, because you can wipe it down.
Right, but if you're a professional detailer and you miss that, and the customer comes to pick the car up and they see that, they're like, oh, what else did you miss?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, if you're putting a ceramic coating on and you miss that leveling and it's high spots, that could be a really big deal.
Exactly. And also, if you miss removing a bit of polish residue, when you're going to apply the ceramic coating, it's going to slow you down, because now you have to stop applying the coating, wipe that off, et cetera, et cetera. So there are frequently missed areas, and the grills are one of them. You know, they're difficult to clean, they're not easy to access, and they take a bit of time to work around. So some people sort of glaze over them without really getting in there. And if you're wanting to do a really deep dive detail, you need to get in there. Those are, you know, one of the primary areas where everything looks good, but you look at that and go, well, you missed a spot.
And that's one thing I used to do on like the front grills, is I would clean them, they'd still end up looking grungy. So I'd spray, I think, like a silicone shine spray.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, maybe
temporary.
Lasts a couple days.
Yeah, temporary.
Yeah, adjust. So, because I would be like, I cleaned it, it doesn't really look great still. And so it can be really tricky to get, I think, the grill right.
Well, the grill is an area that you can work, but with a slightly different strategy. First of all, when you're doing the initial wash, use a flag tip nylon brush. That is gonna get in there, it's not gonna scratch the grill, and it's gonna get in a little deeper. The other thing, if it's a vehicle that's, let's say, used to going to the car wash, they're not great at drying the vehicles there. You know, they have those big blowers, but they sort of start on the sides, and the front end stays a little wet, and the back stays a little wet. Those grills accumulate mineral deposits from the water not being removed. So water spot remover is a great tool on grills for cleaning. Or again, same car wash, the back of the vehicle where the letters are, you miss, like, inside the letters, no matter how much soap you're using, you're not gonna get there because it's mineral buildup. And the water spot remover, nice little brush, is gonna get in there, it's gonna break those minerals apart, easily flushing them away. So now that emblem that you're looking at and going, I don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong. Well, that's what's wrong. You have that little sort of shadow or haze all around it. And by getting in there with a water spot remover, you're gonna get that. Grill, same thing. Bit of water spot remover, once you've washed it and agitate it, you're gonna make the grill look so much better.
And if for some reason that doesn't move it, you may want to just accept where you're at, because the only thing I've seen past that that works is
polishing.
Acid or polishing.
Yeah.
But on nasty emblems, they don't move. Like, one thing I'm realizing, you know, because you go through these emotional up and downs on cars, is what happened before it got to you is not your fault.
Right.
Right? Like, we want to be the hero always. And it's like,
yeah,
sometimes we have to just tell ourselves, it's not my fault that it was brought to me in this condition.
Right. And as a professional detailer, that's something you have to learn to accept and actually be able to tell your customer that, hey, I'll do my best, but it's not my fault you neglected your car for 5 years. Maybe not put it that way. But basically saying, look, this is long-term damage that's accumulated over time. I'm going to try to reverse that damage as much as possible, but I may not be able to get it 100%.
What else do you think people miss on the exterior? I was just thinking about the tire lotion, tire shine.
Yeah.
That bottom edge of the tire is hard to get to, so usually you got to pull it forward or back, and folks don't always do that, and so maybe they'll drive away with a tire that's not evenly distributed with their tire.
Looks like it has a flat spot on it.
Yeah.
So moving it back and forth, or if you're going to be doing a long, you know, long drawn out detail on a vehicle, polishing and all that, put it up on some 2x10s, but just leave the wheel sticking out a half inch. Now you'll be able to get around it with your brush, you'll be able to clean it better, and you won't have to move the vehicle back and forth.
You've given that tip before. So a 2x10, you just drive up and over onto it?
Right. So about a 2 foot long piece of 2x10, get an 8 foot piece, cut it in four, you're good to go. You just butt it up against the wheels, roll the car up onto it, and now you've got a nice area to clean the wheels, and it actually raises the car up a little bit. You got an SUV, maybe not a good idea. If you have a car like this, raising it up an inch or two, not a bad thing.
Why not an SUV?
You're gonna have to reach even further on the roof.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And it's tough when you're not a super tall person.
Exactly.
That's why Ivan recommends ladders. What else do folks, but speaking of that, maybe they miss the roof, don't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people miss the roof. And we see that when they, you know, we have vehicles come here, and I had my shop, and there are some vehicles that I don't think the roof was ever washed other than when it rained. But when it gets into our shop, it's like, ooh, there's something wrong here. The rest of the vehicle feels a little contaminated. The roof feels like sandpaper.
I wonder if roof cleaning's over or underrated, right? If you want to be a collector of cars, you obviously want the roof to last forever, but like, I don't know. It's a lot of work to clean the roof. No one ever sees it. I can see why people don't.
Right.
But as a purist, we want to keep it maintained.
Well, and on the other hand, by not cleaning it, by letting junk accumulate on it, by not protecting it by waxing, sealants, or coatings, your roof is going to break down. You're going to get paint failure on your roof because you didn't maintain it.
And that's something that polishing does not take away.
No.
One of the earlier vehicles I got as a pro was like, it was clear coat failure.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe I could rescue it with polishing. And it's like, you don't know what you don't know at that point. And
yeah.
Again, it's not your fault. You're trying to be a hero. I'll do it for $100, whatever.
Yeah.
And who knows? I was getting all kinds of crud stuck in my pads and they were turning color. And
yeah, just, exactly.
Don't let that happen to your roof.
Right. Another area that's often missed, the underside of the mirror. And
on the inside?
No, outside.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so the underside of the mirror, also that joint between the mirror and the body, you know, that 2-inch space that's a little hard to get to. If it's a newer car, you can move the mirror. You can get at it. There's ways. We polished this car with a 6-inch pad, and there's no areas that we missed.
I sort of thought maybe I should, you know, bust out the 1-inch pads and the little, but there wasn't really anywhere on there I needed to.
No.
I was able to get, you know, that little grill area. Because the 6-inch waffle is so big and fat and it just kind of contours into spaces, just on speed one on the rotor with gold standard polish, I just easily glided over there. And I was just kind of kissing every surface, you know, letting it do its thing.
Now, another thing that a lot of people miss, and this is an age-related thing. So someone in their 20s, I've had many, many employees. This is a common trait. Someone in their 20s, they can't reach past halfway down the door. They get into their 30s, they get a little more flexible, they can reach a little further down. Once they hit 45, 50 years old, they can reach under the frame. Apparently, people get more flexible as they age when they're washing cars.
More detail-oriented?
Yeah, that's what it is. Because, you know, a lot of people, they look at what they see and they don't think past that. And when you're cleaning a car, you're up close to it, you don't see under the rocker panels. You don't see the back of the car where the diffusers are. You don't see the front underneath. You don't see that, so you don't clean it. But you step away 10 or 15 feet and it's like, ooh, there's a line down there. And also, when you're washing, if you don't reach there, and then maybe when you're polishing or coating, you reach there and then, oh, my coating applicator's full of crap. Time to start over again.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Comment down below if that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Very meticulous on the wash and the polish, and then you, rocker panel.
Yeah.
Coating applicator is full of dirt.
Right, because you forgot to clean it. So,
what else do folks miss on the exterior? I know the interior is a big one, but I want to save that for its place, right?
Right.
We'll get there.
Right.
Next time.
Underneath of the spoiler. That's another one. This one has a nice elevated spoiler. Get under there. The car following this, because normally a Corvette is being followed, they can maybe see the underneath that spoiler and they won't like what they see. And a lot of people, they'll dry the top of the spoiler and the underside of the spoiler is just full of water spots because they never got there to dry it.
Now, does anyone ever see the water spots? You say the people behind them will?
if another Corvette is following this or, you know, another low car, they can see that easily.
That's true. That's true. What about on the wheels? Anything else people tend to miss?
Well, on the wheels, around the lug nuts. That's a big one. And drying the wheels, do it with a towel. It's great. But they're so intricate these days. They have, you know, cavities that just seem to hold water for days. So try to get in there with a towel. There's usually behind the spokes, there's like a little area that just accumulates water and it just stays there. So try to get in there. If your hands are big or small enough, get into the barrel, wipe the barrel down with a towel. If you like having clean wheels and you do the barrels on a regular basis, that's gonna help. Now, one thing that helps with missed spots is doing it frequently. Because if you're washing your car on a regular basis, spot you miss this week, you might not miss next week.
Well, and also you're so big on being meticulous and having something that you can repeat.
Right.
So if you have a good standard operating procedure and you do it often,
yeah,
it'll just like reinforce itself.
Exactly. And you'll get to that point where you're not missing anything. Another thing to do is take a video of yourself. Whether you're a professional or a hobbyist, take a video and watch it, even if you're fast forwarding through it, and you'll see, oh, darn, I missed that spot. Or Nick, when we started doing, if you go back to our older videos, you'll notice that for Nick, wheel wells were often square, because when he'd wash it with the soap, you would see a line at the top, then he'd go down, and there was a little corner there. Now he's overcome that from watching videos and seeing, you know, and having me rag at him. But anyways.
Hey, I don't miss a spot anymore.
No, exactly. He doesn't miss a spot anymore. And that's something that if you don't see it, you never notice it. And it, had you never seen yourself on video doing it, you would have never noticed it. Now you got
somehow
it when drying.
I managed to clean cars for a while, missing that spot on camera a few times with you, but I'm sure I missed it in the past.
Yeah.
You get it in the drying stage. If you get in the drying stage, is it a really safe place to do that? No.
There's a risk.
Because you didn't actually wash it right the first time. So I know what you mean. It's true. It's true. The way Ivan watches detailers out there, we got to get bloopers of Ivan watching other detailers on YouTube and how they, because like, you would just be like, you did it wrong there. You did it wrong. Like, you see things in a very interesting way, and there's no wrong way as an enthusiast, right?
It's just no.
Trying to help you enjoy this more, but there's a reason why you're sitting in this chair. It's like, you treat this in a way that you enjoy, right? You wouldn't be here if you didn't enjoy it, but like,
no.
The way, you're like an NFL coach. You just, you pick it all apart because this is how you think.
Yeah.
This is how he thinks. You know he thinks this way.
Yeah.
He's very, very intelligent and analytical, and this is how you approach detailing.
Right. You know,
you're one of one.
Yeah, something like that. Now, Sylvie is as good as I am. But basically, with detailing, the word detailing says it all. It's all about the details. And if you're a professional and someone has paid you to detail their car and they see a missed spot, they're gonna see a lot more. They're gonna start looking for spots that you missed. Whereas if you hit all those key spots and you make sure not to miss anything, and it's very simple, by being methodical, by being precise. So as an example, this car, as I was going along, I polished and I wiped when I was done a panel. Nick did the whole panel, did the whole vehicle, then wiped it. Nothing wrong with that. But by doing it in one section at a time, I'm able to focus and make sure that I got everywhere. Because I just finished polishing, let's say, around this scoop here. I just finished polishing around that scoop, so I know where I've polished. But if you come back half an hour later, your brain is maybe not in the same place. And your muscle memory isn't there either. Because your muscle memory is, I just polished this, therefore I just need to wipe this. So those are little things. Now, there's nothing wrong doing it the other way, but you have to be conscious that you're starting over and you have to see where you've been. And a final inspection, whether you're working by yourself or there's 10 people in the car, always have someone else inspect if you can. Now, if you're working by yourself, you can't. But if you started at the front and worked your way back, for your inspection, start at the back and go forward. You see it at a different angle, you see things a little differently.
It's not convenient. You're going to find an excuse not to do it. I highly encourage you to do it anyway. If you're in a garage, pull the vehicle outside.
Oh, yeah.
The sun will be the best final inspection. Now, there's certain things in the sun you won't see, which is sort of interesting, right? But if you're looking for scratches and you don't see them in the sun, that's a good sign. It's a good sign that your shop lighting was way too dark and you just had one little spotlight and you were looking for too many little things. Nobody sees those. So the sun is actually a nice arbiter where it's like, this will actually meet me in the middle of, I'm going too crazy down the rabbit hole looking for scratches versus what would anybody actually see in the sun? But yeah. The sun will also show you, did I miss a polished spot that I need to, you know, rewipe, or did I actually miss that section? So
exactly.
I like leaving the polish on, which is what we can do with gold standard polish.
Right.
Because I could just see where I've been. I knew I was a little tired today. I was like, if I had just have polished tracks everywhere, whatever you want to call them, you know, residue, I know I've done that spot.
Exactly. And for myself, I've always been meticulous. I've always been methodical. And being methodical, I know where I've been because I know that I always do this part first, and I do this one second, and I do this one third. So I'm not jumping around. And that's something you have to develop your own standard operating procedure. Whether you're working by yourself, you're a hobbyist at home, or you're a professional with 50 employees, having standard operating procedures will make you a better detailer.
One area that detailers miss, I was just thinking of that transition from outside to inside, is the door jams.
The door jams,
Your customer is going to notice if you miss these.
Yeah, the door jams between the seat and the console. That's another one. Or not moving the seat all the way forward, all the way back. You can miss a few things there. The mirror, again, we miss the underside of the mirror outside. The backside of the rearview mirror inside, same deal. That gets missed a lot.
Yeah, between the seat and the center console, had a employee or two, and you know, dog hair was mostly removed everywhere.
Yeah.
But like, you knew when I did my QC, my quality control, I was like,
right.
You know, that's on me, right? It's not training this person, but it's like, I was like, oh no, I'm going to see it, aren't I? And all the dog hair was still in the middle. And at that point, it's like, do I use an air compressor to blow it out, then mess everything else up? Do I try to use my nitrile gloves? Like, if it had been done at the right time, it wouldn't have been as much of an issue. So, yeah, between the seat and the center console is a big one.
Right, and if you have employees, when you do the inspection, you're just pointing stuff out. You have them fix their mistakes. Don't fix it for them because they'll never learn. And if you have an employee that always misses the same spot, we'll use the underside of the mirror as an example. If you have an employee that does that, you clean a vehicle and purposely miss that spot. Put an envelope in the glove box saying, I purposely missed the underside of the driver's door mirror. Then have your employee inspect the vehicle. And if your employee inspects the vehicle and points out that you missed the underside of the mirror, that means they're just lazy. But if they don't point out that you missed the underside of the mirror, they're blind to that spot. They don't know it exists. And by pulling the envelope out and say, look, I purposely missed the spot. I wrote it before we did this. Now, you didn't see it either. That means you really need to concentrate on finding that spot every time you're detailing a car. But if they did point it out to you, it's like, how come you miss it all the time, but you caught it when you're inspecting my work?
Interesting questions, Ivan. Yeah. I've never been a supervisor of many detailing employees. I just have a heart for the enthusiast out there who enjoys doing it themselves with no time limit and chasing whatever idea of perfection they have. You know, there is no such thing as perfection. But let's talk about, you know, things they can do realistically. Cup holders are, you know, you don't miss those. It's just maybe you don't get them as well as you could.
Yeah, and you know, again, there's a lot of hidden compartments in vehicles.
Yeah.
So as a professional detailer, you want to get to those. You want to make sure that your customer is emptying those compartments before they bring it to you. And if you have any concerns, you can tell the customer, look, we don't open the center console, we don't open the glove box.
I was always like that. I'm like, because usually there's tons of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with it.
Right. So basically, if you want it cleaned, empty it, let us know.
I would maybe do a quick peek in the center console.
Yeah.
If there's lots of stuff in there, I just closed it. But communicating is always a good thing.
Right.
Let's say you got a cloth seat, you know, a pickup truck. I don't know if it's Ford's or whatever, but they have that big center console thing that folds forward.
Right.
With the two cup holders. Don't forget that it'll fold back up, and then there's another compartment in there.
Right, exactly.
Right? So, and that's usually cloth, so that could be easily missed.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like we mentioned around the seat tracks. Now, you mentioned dog hair, and dog hair is a very interesting thing. Detailers are dogmatic about going after dog hair. They see dog hair and we have to remove it all. Ask your customer first, because your customer might be coming to pick up the car with the dog with them. And that dog hair, it doesn't matter if you absolutely remove every last piece of little dog hair, because the dog hair is going right back in. The dog is going right back in to produce more dog hair. So we had customers in our shop that we knew they had dogs and they just brought it. They want it cleaned, but they weren't concerned about every last piece of dog hair because they knew that in 3 or 4 days it was going to be covered again. So that is something you need to communicate with your customer. Are you asking me to remove the dog hair because you no longer have a dog, or are you just wanting to remove an accumulation of it?
I met someone on the plane and she has a dog.
Yeah.
And I told her, you know, I'm a detailer at this YouTube channel and we sell products. And she was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, what do you recommend for dog hair?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good answer for her. I was like, well, you know, there's kind of this pumice stone and then there's, you know, the little like triangle plastic things with little ridges
the
on them.
Brushes.
The Lily brush. I didn't name any brands, but like, then there's the Tornador. If you get an air compressor, and I'm like, there's so many different answers to the dog hair question.
Right.
And you don't know until you're working on that dog hair.
No, and there's some vehicles that it'll vacuum up. There's other vehicles that you can throw everything you have at it, then it's you're out there with tweezers trying to pick it out.
Yeah. I was telling her like the nibbed nitrile gloves could sometimes be a miracle.
Yeah, they work super well. Another tip is get some fabric softener and get the unscented kind, because if you get the scented kind, you're going to be smelling fabric softener in your vehicle for weeks. But the unscented fabric softener, dilute it 10-1, spray it on, and let it dry. It breaks the static. Now the hair vacuums out a lot easier.
I tried the fabric softener thing on a couple, you know, dog hair cars. It didn't quite work. It might have just been really difficult dog hair. I didn't have success there, but I've heard a lot of people say that works.
Right. It helps. It's not a miracle product. The hair is not going to jump into the vacuum cleaner.
Be so amazing if it did.
There is. There's the For Real that works very well. It's an attachment that fits any vacuum cleaner.
Does work real good. It has the ridges at the end.
The For Real, and it's a U.S. product. Tom Smith out of Idaho. So again, there's a lot of good tools out there for removing dog hair, but if it's your own vehicle, realize that you're going to be putting the dog back in there tomorrow. May not be worth it to spend 3 hours getting rid of every last piece of dog hair, just put the dog back in. And same thing as a professional detailer, find out what your customer actually wants.
Other missed spots on the windshield, around the corners of the windshield.
Yeah.
You might kind of get most of the big part of the windshield.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's just, like, streaks around the corners and the edges.
Right. And back to the outside for a second, speaking of the windshield, taller vehicles, what I like to call the widow's peak. You've cleaned the windshield, and you've gone up, and in the center, there's this form like this that... These sides were wiped clean, but in the center, you've got this little V that, you know, never quite gets done. And it's above the rear view mirror, so you don't necessarily see it till you look outside again and go, oh, missed a spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't miss that spot.
No.
Do you want to give them tips on how not to miss that spot? I mean, again, outside, you're a big proponent of the ladder and not climbing all over a vehicle.
Yeah, definitely. So ladder or platform, something like that is going to definitely help you be safer. First of all, reach with ease. You're not, you know, sort of doing a balancing act, trying to hold a towel in one hand and hold onto the vehicle with the other and climbing on the tires. So there's a lot of things you can add to your safety. And a ladder or platform is one of those, especially if you have an SUV. If you have something this tall, no worries. Even short people can get at this. Another little trick is if you're trying to get to the roof, you don't have a ladder, just open the door. That 2 or 3 inches you get closer gives you 2 or 3 inches closer to the center.
One other thing I think detailers could easily miss is like behind the steering wheel.
Yep.
You can kind of fold a towel and wherever the steering wheel meets...
The steering column, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can just fold a towel and kind of put one in each hand, one end, and then just, what am I doing?
You're going around, like doing a shoe shine sort of
thing. Yeah, like a shoe shine in that little crevice. And that's a really good way to get that. There's a lot of little crevices on the steering wheel too that even if you don't have, you know, compressed air, find a small little item that you can wrap maybe a microfiber towel around.
Right.
Like a credit card or like a toothpick or a dental pick. I don't want you to damage it. A popsicle stick, yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll help you with the little rinseless wash on there to just get those areas because they're easy to miss.
They are. And as a, you know, consumer or as a home hobbyist, yeah, you'll get it the next time. As a professional, you may not have a chance of the next time because if the customer sees it, they're not bringing the car back to you.
That can be so hard for detailers too, though, thinking I have to get every spot or they're going to think I'm a hack detailer. And
well,
it takes time, Ivan, and you don't ever want to let them down and you're striving for perfection and that'll never happen. And it can be a very stressful thing to be a detailer sometimes.
And yes, it does take time. But once again, having a standard operating procedure, being methodical will allow you to get to those spots on a regular basis. And as a professional, you really have to be careful with that. And you're saying it takes a lot of time. Interior cleaning, if you're a home hobbyist, How long does it take you to clean your interior? Let us know. As a professional, you need to charge for your time. And that is something that a lot of professional detailers, especially when they're starting out, oh, I'm not going to charge too much because I want to build my name. Well, when you're doing that, you're building your name with the wrong customers. You're building your name with the customers that are just looking for a deal. And then when you raise your prices to something that you can feed your family with, they're going to find someone else to have a deal with. But for interiors, for me, start at $250 and then work up from there because it takes me 2 hours. And as a professional detailer, $100, $120 an hour is a good starting wage. Now, that's not your take-home wage. There's a lot of expenses that go with detailing. There's the chemicals, and that's a minor expense. But you have communication, you have insurance, you have electricity, you have your mobile unit, you have rent, you have all sorts of things that add up. Your mechanic charges roughly $120 an hour as well. A plumber will charge roughly about $120 an hour, and they charge you the travel time to and from. Electrician, same deal. All those trades, detailing is a trade. And the reason they charge those prices is they've been able to calculate their overhead and go, if I don't charge this much, I'm not going to be in business long.
Ivan, you've got a lot of business advice for detailers out there, and perhaps
right.
That's for another podcast.
It sure is.
Can you think of any other they miss these spots. Don't miss these spots, detailers.
The wheel wells. The mud flaps. So you see a car, they've cleaned everywhere on the body, but then that little 4 inches of mud flap sticking out the bottom, still covered in mud.
Well, that would just be hitting it with a pressure washer and then putting some tire dressing on there after you've cleaned it, or how would you?
Cleaning it, yeah.
Just cleaning it. Not dressing it, cleaning it.
Right. But when I dress the tires, I always, I have it on the brush. I just finish the brush off with the mud flaps. And if it has textured plastic along the bottom, like a lot of SUVs, just a nice little stripe along there, gives it a little brightness to it, gives it a little color, darkens it up, looks much better.
And let's end with this. Spots you might miss when you're ceramic coating. High spot hot spots.
Right.
So it's areas like up into a corner at the edges of panels, right?
Right.
Can you talk about what those high spot hot spots are?
Wherever
because if you leave the coating on for too long, like a day or something, and you don't level the excess, it'll leave a mark on there that's visible.
So high spot hot spots. Try saying that 20 times, are areas where you have intersecting panels and intersecting angles. Because you're putting the coating on one angle, you're putting it on another, you've wiped it off here, you wiped it off there, but you may not have wiped off enough because of that, you've got an angle like this. It's very difficult to get in here. So you might have a high spot. Around the mirrors, around the door handles, those are all areas where the A-pillars meet the cowl, that's another area where high spots are frequent. Along the bottom of the doors, because getting down there to wipe it off, and you don't always see, so it looks like you have the high spots away, and then when it gets in a different lighting, it's like, ooh, missed a spot. Around the rear bumper, around the grill area, there's anywhere that's intricate, put it that way. If it's intricate, if it's angled, there's a good chance there might be a high spot there.
So, be meticulous. Don't let the high spot hot spot fool you. And if you want to learn more about some of the ceramic coating myths out there, because you just kind of whet my appetite to learn more about ceramic coatings, Well, you're going to want to go to this video. It's a great watch, so click it, and we'll see you there.